with Mike Palm and Mike Pritchard. Now here's your host, Timmy Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's a great day to be alive, and it's a great day to be a better. Welcome inside to the VSiN studios here at the Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. This is the Lombardi Line. Femi Abebefe alongside Mike Pritchard, a VSiN NFL analyst, played nearly a decade in the National Football League, former first-round pick and also a national champion with the Colorado Buffaloes. Pritch, yep. How are we doing, man? Black Friday, here we are. Yeah, hanging out here.
Yeah, I had to represent Black Friday with all black.
Say,
yeah,
look at
absolutely.
You.
I got started with Black Friday on Wednesday, though.
Yeah,
it's been a great year, so getting started early. But glad to be here with you. Looking forward to going over some games and some news and notes from the National Football League. Get everybody ready for Sunday.
NFL is always keeping us rolling. We got an NFL game today, by the way. Yep. We usually don't have a game that we could preview on Friday with our football show here, but we have a Black Friday game with the Miami Dolphins and the New York Jets right now. That line is sitting at 9.5, but we do have a couple of a fun show that we have on deck over the next 2 hours. Andy Vasquez will be joining us 15 minutes from now. New York Jets beat reporter for NJ.com. He is boots on the ground in the stadium. We'll talk to Andy Vasquez about that game a little bit later on in 15 minutes. But we have to start, though, Pritch, with what we saw yesterday on Thanksgiving. Turkey Day, as always. And the Dallas Cowboys showed up and showed out on Turkey Day. They beat the Washington Commanders. Unfortunately for me, I had Washington plus 13.5 through three quarters. I was like, maybe we can get there.
Yeah.
Fourth quarter happens, and it was a doomsday, as the Cowboys like to say there. 25 points in the fourth quarter. They win the game 45-10.
Yep.
Washington, since then, has now fired their defensive coordinator, Jack Del Rio, and also their DB's coach as well. But when you watched yesterday's game, probably had to happen.
Yeah, it had to happen. Ding dong, the Wicked Witch is gone. Del Rio. Again, I make no qualms about this. I mean, I never respected the guy. Here's the thing about Del Rio. It was everybody else's fault except his for a long time. And it's cost Rivera. I think it's going to cost him his job.
Yeah.
And you had the new ownership come out with some strong words. Nikki Javala did a great job with capturing some quotes and certainly following some stories there going on with Washington and that football team. But internally, it was a mess. It has been a mess. And we know the scandals and everything like that with Snyder before. But you're going to tell me the defensive line coach gets fired a couple years ago. Okay, other people get fired. And then you trade away your best players, but yet there's no accountability for the defense coordinator. And one thing I can say for a fact in a locker room is respect is everything. Trust is everything more than that. But certainly you got to have that respect. And when you don't have a defense coordinator standing up and saying, okay, this is my fault, or accepting accountability, then there's zero respect. You got to tell me all those first rounders on that side of the ball, it's their fault, except the coordinator. But they needed to get rid of Del Rio. We'll see what happens with that football team on the other side. And reluctant to take the Washington Commanders, even though, you know, I like what they're doing on one side of the ball. But on the other side of the ball, it can't just back Washington against a high powered team. Dallas was averaging 42 points a game in the last three games. Now, again, it's a competition. I get that. But they are racking up points. Dak Prescott is playing stellar football. And remember, and you know this, Dak Prescott, his entire career has averaged double-digit wins each and every year.
Yeah, he's and won a lot of football
games. He's won a lot of football games. So I think Dallas is starting to feel comfortable with this offense, with McCarthy calling plays. And they seem to have found some youth on that roster, too, to help out with playmakers.
Yeah, everybody was on display. I mean, CeeDee Lamb, Brandon Cooks. I mean, Tony Pollard got busy as well. Rico Dowdle with the first touchdown score. Shout out to anybody who had Rico Dowdle first TD score yesterday there. But on the Commander side of it, like you mentioned, like Jack Del Rio obviously fired, but they put out a statement. Josh Harris was at the game yesterday.
Right.
He was in the suite. So like he sees it first, you know, like first person right there live in effect. And he put out a statement, said, "This morning I spoke with Coach Rivera and he recommended that the team make changes at defensive coordinator and defensive backs coach. I accepted those recommendations and want to thank Jack and Brent for their contributions to the Commanders. We wish them and their families well moving forward." I find it funny. That's I wish you well doing forward. Also, you're fired, by the way. Sure. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. But I mean, this is an organization where the Commanders, like defensively, it had been very, very bad.
Oh, it's
and
been
I
horrible.
Think it's like people could point to, they traded Montez Sweat. They traded Chase Young. But when they had those guys, it was still really bad. Mm-hmm. And like, they lost to the, like, they gave up points to Tommy DeVito, who has been horrendous in his starts there. Like, when they played Dallas, they looked like an FCS team playing an NFL team. And then they went ahead and gave up a 30 spot to Tommy DeVito, to where it's like they had to make a change here for the Commanders. I mean, I don't know what it means going forward for them in terms of their defense. Maybe it gets better. Maybe they get a little bit of a bump. But it really feels like we're headed towards Rivera gone at the end of the season, if not maybe even around Christmas time.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like I mentioned before, in the locker room, if the defense coordinator, there's no accountability for him, okay, what am I doing here? You know, I think Jonathan Allen had some comments in regards to, it's about execution, it's about our performances, right? But yet you're not holding everybody accountable. You're separating people. But you're certainly holding the players accountable, because, you know, guys are getting traded away and certainly going to lose your job, and job security is in doubt. So you might get a bump of effort because now everybody else is on notice. Like, they're getting rid of players, and now they're getting rid of coaches, and we got a new ownership. So I better be on top of my game if I want to be here. So you might get a better effort from some guys and certain guys, but will it be a collective effort, right? Will it be a team effort? And so we'll see if Rivera can do that. If he can, then maybe it buys him more time. Yeah. But if he can't, then obviously the writing's on the wall out there in Washington.
Yeah, maybe a little bit of a wake-up call for these guys out there in our nation's capital. On the Dallas side of it, real quick here, like, obviously the schedule has lessened since they played the Eagles and the Niners and those teams here. They do face the Eagles in a couple weeks.
Right.
You said you're impressed with what you've seen from Dallas. Like, is this a team that you feel comfortable saying is a contending team, or is it just they're taking advantage of a bad schedule here?
Well, you know, I think I had Dallas going to a Super Bowl. I had the Jets too, but Aaron Rodgers tore his Achilles, right?
Yeah, you get a mulligan on that one.
Okay. but no, Dallas, I think they've been a contender all year long. You know, it was top heavy in the NFC. We knew that with certainly the Eagles and San Francisco, now Dallas in the mix. So you could stretch it to four teams if you want to, but that kind of gets dicey. No, Dallas, I thought along the way, and especially in the offseason, right before the season, they had a chance to get D-Hop. And I mean, if they would have got DeAndre Hopkins to add to what's going on now with that offense, I mean, tell me who's going to stop them, right? But they didn't do it, even though they had the salary cap. So I said this to you. I'm like, they need one more playmaker. And, you know, Cooks is coming along. CeeDee Lamb is phenomenal. With Ferguson, the tight end, they're starting to find him. If they don't run the ball, they're okay, because Dak is starting to settle in with his offense. But here comes some youth on that roster that's creating opportunities and certainly settling down Dak as well. And I'll just lean on the fact that, you know, his entire career, he's been a double-digit winner at that quarterback position, and that got the high-powered offense. I think they've had the leading a scoring offense for, what, the last two, 3 years in the league. So they're on track to do that again, and they're revving up right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's back-to-back 12-1 seasons for the Cowboys. I mean, they haven't gotten it done in the playoffs, and particularly against the San Francisco 49ers, who blew them out like a couple months ago or so, week five in that game. So, like, that's going to be the ultimate test. But in terms of consistency, they've been great against the number.
Right.
They've been great in terms of, like, the win-loss record. And, hey, like, the McCarthy-Dak Cowboys have been really good, and they've been surpassing expectations, if you will, here.
Sure.
But you did mention, you said, it gets dicey as a fourth team.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that team that a lot of people thought was that fourth team was the Detroit Lions. They lay an egg yesterday. Yeah. Shout out to anybody who had them in Survivor. We apologize. Yeah. Unfortunately, a bad Thanksgiving for them. I mean, 58.1% of the remaining entries in Survivor were on the Detroit Lions. They lose to the Green Bay Packers as a touchdown plus favorite at home, 29-22. Packers now sneakily into the playoff mix here as a potential wildcard team. But on the Detroit side, 5.9 yards per play. The turnovers obviously were a big story with it. 0-for-5 on fourth down. It was just a disaster of a Thanksgiving, and it started right off the bat.
Yeah, Femi, coaching decisions too. I mean, you see really how Campbell gets emotional a little bit and maybe outthinks himself, right? You know, you don't want to take that away because he's been highly successful so far. But down the stretch, when this pressure is mounting, is he going to be able to handle it? Some of these coaching decisions. But now on the other side, Goff, a lot of things have been said about him and really resurrecting his career and doing a great job. And he has. But he's now timid, though, and holding the ball way too long, seeing wide open people in front of him, not throwing the ball, maybe looking for something else to develop. But yet, you know, against teams like Green Bay and teams that are familiar with you and certainly your tendencies, you can't do that. I think Goff needs to step up his game. I know Campbell came out and said, we got to get takeaways, which that's pressure on Aaron Glenn now.
Yeah.
Right? That's pressure on your DC, who's been more conservative and has been helpful, because last year he was attacking and it was, you know, teams were just scoring at will against that defense for Detroit. But getting takeaways is one thing, but giving the ball away is another. And you can't. And last week, what, they scored 31 points with four turnovers. And so on a short week, you can't do that again. So they are consistently turning the ball over with a timid quarterback, and that cost them in that game against Green Bay.
Yeah, three turnovers for the Detroit Lions in that game there. It was the exact number on Survivor, 216 entries were on the Detroit Lions. Of the 371, 216 were on the Lions. Right. So obviously those tickets ripped up there. The $9 million dream over for the folks that picked the Lions there. And I think defensively, I think it's interesting because Green Bay had 7 yards per play. Mm-hmm. And this is a Packers offense that has been kind of devoid of explosive plays. Like we've been talking about, like, where are the explosives? Where are the chunk plays? They weren't. There was a lot of screens, a lot of checkdowns. Yeah. The chunk plays were there yesterday.
Christian Watson.
First play of the game. Yeah. They say, here you go. Boom. Christian Watson, eye hole. Yeah. And then, like, Jordan Love looked really comfortable. He looked great yesterday.
He did.
To where, like, is this more of a Detroit defense thing, or the Packers, are they kind of onto something?
Yeah, he's still bad habits throwing off that back foot.
He loves doing that.
LaFleur's got to correct that.
He loves it.
Because it's going to cost him, though, right? You got this young player who's feeling himself, and he has these continued bad habits, and he's got to get out that. But Christian Watson back on the field. In the draft, you know, that guy that was going to sneak into that first round with that speed reminds you so much of Lofton, James Lofton, how he can get deep and how he can be explosive. So that's comfort to a young football team. And as a better, beware or be careful or know about these young teams that get better, because they take leaps forward as they get better collectively.
Yeah, it seems like a quantum leap for the Green Bay Packers over these past 5 days versus what it had been over the last 5 weeks. Andy Vasquez of NewJersey.com will join us next to break down the Dolphins and the Jets here on the Lombardi Line.
On VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. It is our number two of the Lombardi Line. Hanging out with you guys now on the DraftKings Network. We say hello to our audience on the DraftKings Network. Femi Bebefe alongside Mike Pritchard, our VSIN NFL analyst, played nearly a decade in the National Football League, former first round pick to the Atlanta Falcons, and also a national champion with the Colorado Buffaloes. Pritch, we have a fun second hour on deck. We had a fun first hour as well. And you can go ahead, for those of you listening, if you want to watch us, Zumo Play, Samsung TV, Roku, DraftKings Network. You got a whole lot of areas where you can go ahead and see us in motion picture here on the Lombardi Line. But we kick off this hour talking NFL and the Sunday slate with the Bills at the Eagles. Fun game, just from like a viewing standpoint, I think, here with Josh Allen, who's a terrific quarterback. You have the Eagles team, best record in the NFL. But in the betting market, seems like we'll get a close game as well. The Eagles right now, 3-point favorites over at DraftKings, total sitting at 48.5. I think this is one of the more fascinating betting markets. Mm-hmm. I don't have an opinion in terms of like a bet in this game, but I just find it really interesting. What do you think of this game, though? Side total, Eagles hosting the Buffalo Bills.
I hope it lives up to the headline of this game. Like, you think about Josh Allen and Jalen Hurts and, you know, all this stuff, and, you know, the high powered offense, Buffalo and the Eagles high powered offense. But then Eagles coming off of an emotional win, short week. Can they rev it back up again? Right. The plays were there for Kansas City and make them, which, OK, Buffalo is going to see that on tape and certainly try to take advantage of some matchups and some areas of the field. Buffalo is more the same, which is fascinating to me, because they don't have anything else to evolve to or go in or get into. I mean, I think from a tendency standpoint, that's going to change for the Eagles, because no more Ken Dorsey. So now who's calling plays? And okay, how do we focus in on that from a tendency standpoint? There's some advantages on both sides here. The Eagles offensively, you know, A.J. Brown has a thigh issue. And you know, last year, remember we had that ankle?
Yeah.
He was kind of hobbled, and then Devonta Smith stepped up. And the Eagles made big play after big play against Kansas City to get back in the game and then win the game. So Buffalo's looking to take that away, but then Buffalo's banged up in the secondary too. So there's so many matchup advantages, individual matchups advantages. It's hard for me to focus in on a side here. But I mean, look at the props. These game plans are going to be wide open. They have to be. I think the Eagles, the only thing you're worried about with the Eagles is, can they follow up a come from behind victory on the road with a stellar performance again against a team that's looking to get back into the playoff picture?
Are you buying what the Bills are selling offensively after the OC change? Obviously, we saw Ken Dorsey get fired. Mm-hmm. Joe Brady, the interim offensive coordinator, now calling the plays. Are you buying what they were selling? Just off of one data point, we saw them put up points against the New York Jets, but also that game was like, that was one of those never in doubt sort of games just based on what the Jets offense was doing.
Well, it's more of the same because what Brady, LSU, you know, you think about who he had at LSU would
a lot of dudes.
Sure.
Chase Jefferson.
Yeah. And then he goes to Carolina. It was a Carolina, right? And it flops. Mm-hmm. So I think it's more of the same. I think it's more about Josh Allen and what he wants to run and what he wants to do. And can you coordinate and can you call a game in accordance to what Josh Allen wants to do? Obviously, Ken Dorsey couldn't. Right. But I don't know how Brady, who's a pass happy play caller, is going to start running the football and being physical. We're at the point of the season two where there's no more padded practices, really. So these teams are who they are. Like last night, trying to watch, these teams, like, for instance, you're looking at Seattle trying to be physical against 49ers. That's not happening, right? And then it's like for me, for Buffalo to amp it up and be more physical with an older defense, a banged up defense, but yet offensively they're capable of scoring points, but only through the air. It gets tough to see that happen just because they change offense coordinators.
Yeah. No, I think why I find this game really fascinating just from a market standpoint is that when you look at all the underlying metrics like the EPA stuff or the DVOAs, for those of you like Aaron Schatz's thing over at FTN, like all those numbers suggest that Buffalo is a top three team in the NFL. But obviously, like, the turnovers has brought them down to now 6-5 straight up. And 4-7, more importantly, against the number.
Right.
To where, like, they have been below market expectations for quite a bit of this season. But the market can't quit them. The market can't quit the Buffalo Bills. And like the market bet Buffalo heavily at close last week when they played the New York Jets. And I kind of think the market might bet them heavily again at close here when they take on the Eagles. Like, we're sitting here at 3, and maybe we don't close 2.5, but I would venture to guess that we're more likely to close 2.5 than we are 3.5.
Right.
Like, I think there's a lot of interest, as you saw all the 3.5s get taken, but when those were earlier in the week, to where I think people think Buffalo might be on to something here. And I'm not sure I'm quite there. Like, I need to see more data. I get that the Eagles, their underlying metrics aren't that great. They're winning ugly, quote unquote, and all that stuff here. But man, like, Buffalo's got to prove it to me just more than just a game where they blow out the New York Jets.
I totally agree with you. I mean, I think at times when Buffalo's won games, you know, their defense was able to step up. They're an aging defense too, so you kind of worry about that now. And with key injuries, especially in the secondary, Von Miller is nowhere near Von Miller, right? And can they stop the run? Can they buckle up the chin strap and be physical? You know, Milano's gone. Edmonds is gone. He's on Chicago now. The identity of this team, I mean, all these safeties, you know, whether it's Rapp or any of these safeties, they want to hit you, but they're banged up though.
Yep.
And they got concussions and shoulder injuries. So I'm taking that into account, certainly the physical nature of Buffalo. And if you're the Eagles, okay, yeah, we lived and we won the game against Kansas City with the big play. We know we can get to it if we need to, but can we control the game and can we run the football? And I think that's what I'm expecting. I'm expecting the Eagles to probably perhaps try to run the ball a little bit more. Against a team that just doesn't want anything to do with being physical.
Yeah, no, I mean, Philadelphia should have a lot of success on the ground game. We saw Denver have success on the ground game when they played a couple weeks ago. Broncos able to win that game outright as a 7.5-point dog here. But that's not the only big game that we have. We have a massive game in Houston. Right, who could have seen this coming before the year started, that Jags at Texans might decide who wins the AFC South? But that's where we sit right now. Jacksonville is a 1.5-point favorite over at DraftKings. Total's 47.5. The Houston Texans story has been phenomenal. CJ Stroud, runaway offensive rookie of the year. DeMeco Ryans is in the race for coach of the year. Maybe Stroud is in the MVP conversation. Some people believe that. I'm not really one of them, but like, he's being talked about for that award. Do you see this being a game where the Houston Texans kind of like fully introduce themselves to the public saying, hey, we are that team, or maybe Jacksonville humbles them at home?
Well, Jacksonville's defense, they're capable of humbling to Texans a little bit. But then I just focus in on what C.J. Stroud and how he's playing, how he's uplifting his team, how he's getting performances from these players that you really don't know much about. Yeah. I think Damian Pierce is going to be back. That's going to add some more pop to that offense too, at least some more confidence. And I talk about this a lot, where you got younger teams and impressionable teams that takes leaps forward, right? You know, the veteran teams, they're hard to get more from unless they're already there, unless they already established a standard and they know what to do. But these young teams, like especially with D'Amico, what he's doing with the Houston Texans, I mean, put them on a teaser. I mean, at least that's what I'm looking at. I like the fact that I can get through two possessions there. And I like that fact, that situation, that kind of makeup of a game, that profile of a game at home for Houston. I think Jacksonville, and they are that young team too, that you are expecting more and more from. But can they be consistent? And they haven't shown to be consistent. Last week, great performance, right? The week before, horrible performance. So they're on par for not another great performance. If they can break that and put together back-to-back great performances, okay, you're okay laying a point and a half. But for me, I like the teaser situation with Houston.
Yeah, it does feel like it's a pretty good teaser, like, because Jacksonville's offense isn't like one that's going to be blowing people out. I get what they did last week against Tennessee, but that felt more like Will Levis being bad and Tennessee giving them so many opportunities to kind of win by margin versus it being like Jacksonville authentically from an offensive standpoint, at least here. But it's funny because after week two, Houston's 0-2. Obviously, like nobody, everyone's like, oh, they're 0-2. That sounds about right. Like, nobody expects this team to be good. They were around like 25-1 or so to win the AFC South. And now, man, if they win this game, they have the tiebreaker over the Jags because they beat Jacksonville earlier this season. Right. I believe it was week three. That was their first win of the season. They won that game. If they win this game, they get the tiebreaker and they get the season sweep to where, man, like, imagine holding a 25-1 or 20-1 on the Houston Texans. And right now they're sitting at plus 235. So that ticket obviously is aging pretty well if you went ahead and dabbled. I don't know how many people dabbled with Houston at that point after week two, but if you did, you're into the driver's seat right now with potentially being able to pull off an upset, a short upset, because it's only 1.5. It's not like it's like a required that's a lot here, but in a coin flip game, you might be sitting with the team that has the inside track on winning that division.
Well, then D'Amico gets coach of the year too. Then, I mean, if they win that division, because all the expectations were all over Jacksonville. The thing about the Texans is you wonder, and I love a young team situation where they get better during the course of the season, but you wonder, when does that moment become too big? Are they ready for a game like this too, right?
Lights might be too bright.
Yeah, because then all of a sudden the light, you know, things happen. Fumbles and poor play. I mean, we've seen Stroud, CJ throw some picks. He's come back from them. But each and every game now is just packed with pressure, right? And this one is that game. I mean, like you said, they could get right there in position in terms of trying to play for the division, right? So it gets interesting to see how they handle that, though.
To their credit, like, a game that was a big game for the AFC wildcard implications, they went into Cincinnati and they won that game authentically. And that was with Joe Burrow, I think, at least healthy, quote unquote. I mean, maybe he banged up his wrist in that game, but at least he was healthy enough to continue to play throughout that entire game. And they beat the Joe Burrow led Cincinnati Bengals, who were scorching hot leading into that game. So Houston's shown that they've been able to answer the bell when the bell is rung. We'll see if they do that on Sunday afternoon. We'll talk some more NFL on the other side and get into a little bit of contest discussion here as we are in the Thanksgiving weekend on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with Mike Palm and Mike Pritchard. Now here is your host, Timmy Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you haven't become a VSiN subscriber yet, now's your best chance to sign up and save. Sign up on our Black Friday special today and get a VSiN Pro access to everything we do from now through May 1st, only $60. Sign up today and get access to daily best bets, unlimited access to our exclusive betting splits, premium analysis, and 24/7 video access, plus all our betting guides and best bets for the upcoming College Bowls, the Super Bowl, and March Madness. Don't miss our best new subscriber offer of the year. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe to sign sign up on our Black Friday special now. That's VSIN, VSIN.com/subscribe. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line on the DraftKings Network. He's Mike Pritchard. I'm Femi Abebefe, hanging out here on a Black Friday. Pritch, right now we do have some college football games going on. Obviously, Iowa, Nebraska, just hilariously low total of 25.5. We're still under 17 points that have been scored right now midway through the third quarter. Iowa leads it 10-7. In Norman, we haven't talked about this game really, but Oklahoma leads TCU 42-16. There's about like 17, I think, permutations of the Big 12 title game. We don't need to get into all of those, but Oklahoma needs to win today, and they also need some help later on this evening and afternoon, or tomorrow afternoon, I should say, it was Saturday. OU hoping that they can get some help and maybe get to the Big 12 title game. Texas, one of the few teams that actually controls its own destiny out there in the Big 12. But let's continue our NFL discussion. And we were talking about it during the break here. Tricky week for those of you fortunate enough to have survived Thanksgiving, for the survivor plays. Tricky week here because we have only one game that has a touchdown plus favorite right now. That's the Kansas City Chiefs on the road against the Las Vegas Raiders. Other than that game, every game is 3.5, 2, 2.5, 1.5. I mean, where would you go here if you're playing Survivor right now, Pritch? I mean, I'm sure a lot of people have used Kansas City already as well, to where it's a little bit tough.
That's where Mike Palm would introduce the Matrix and say, okay, which teams are available for certain people or certain entries here. And I mean, with one entry, boy, I tell you, you're kind of sweating out what you're going to do. But with two entries, I mean, you got some flexibility depending on how you have used some of the teams to date. They're not going to be the big home favorites, but that costs people, the big home favorites. Cincinnati, you know, stands out, right?
How about Detroit yesterday?
Sure, Detroit, absolutely, recently. So if you have them available, you know, there's a situation. We were talking about this earlier in the show, the NFC being top heavy. Who's the fourth best team in the NFC right now?
I mean, I think you probably still have to say Detroit. But, man, they've shown some signs of weakness over the last couple of weeks.
Detroit versus Minnesota, what would that line be right now, though?
On a neutral, I would say more than a field goal.
Okay.
I think you have more than a field goal, probably like between 3.5 and 5.5, somewhere in that range.
The reason why I ask is because I think Minnesota could be the play against Chicago at home. And here's why. I mean, Minnesota, they had that game against Denver, they could have had it. You know, you're talking about
should have won.
Yeah, and you're talking about this team being probably the fourth, hands down, the fourth best team in the NFC. You know, it's unthinkable, but what's going on with quarterback, right? But then quarterback play has come down to that level. Well, what's going on with quarterback in Minnesota? And okay, other intangibles here. I mean, I think Flores is doing an outstanding job with that defense. Hunter, he's leading the league in sacks. I think he's at the top. But they get after you defensively up front. They disguise stuff. Chicago's going to be an interesting matchup because I wonder what Justin's going to be able to do just running a football. Is he going to be able to throw it? And I think there's a chance for Minnesota really at home with those fans to come out on top there. So from a survivor standpoint, if you got multiple entries, I think Minnesota has to be one of them.
Yeah, I think Minnesota is definitely one of them. There's obviously a lot of like short home favorites that we have this week. Mm-hmm. I could never get there with the Titans. We talked about this during the break here. Like Will Levis, the way he's been playing the last couple of weeks, hasn't been good. I backed Levis +7 last week against Jacksonville. That ticket had no chance. I don't think I could ever get there, even though the Titans right now are 3.5-point favorites. And yes, Carolina has been atrocious, but when you have two bad teams, one thing I like to do is take the points in those situations.
Right.
I think this is just a pass in general with that game, whether survivor or betting wise. Indianapolis as a short home favorite.
There's something going on. There's something going on, Andy, though. There's something
good
on.
Or something bad.
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, why did they release my man?
Shaq Leonard?
Yeah. I mean,
he hasn't been playing up to that all pro level. I mean, given the back injury, the ankle,
he's a linebacker, undersized linebacker, but he's a playmaker. But there's ways you can do things, right? I mean,
thought it was a little bit dirty.
Well, you're just going to outright release a guy like that?
It's like the Tuesday or Wednesday before Thanksgiving. Happy holidays, Shaq.
Yeah.
We wish you well going forward, as we wish Jack Del Rio well going forward.
Well, it kind of just builds on from JT too, like how you handle that, and then okay, he gets an extension, whatever. But I think there's a lot of overpaid guys on that team right now. But nobody else is getting cut, right?
That's fair.
And you know, Gus Bradley, he's the type of guy from a defense coordinator standpoint, wants to disrupt. And I don't know. I just think there's something else going on beneath the surface there.
Well, I mean, there's something going on with the owner, Jim Irsay. If you just read his Twitter account, with everything that's, he had the Real Sports documentary, which obviously like he opened up about some like pretty serious stuff, but he has said some comments that are just like, what? He was targeted as a rich billionaire.
Yeah.
We don't need to get into all of that stuff.
Would you back New England from a survivor standpoint?
Ooh. Who's playing quarterback? Is it Mac Jones? Is it Bailey Zappi? Is it Malik Cunningham? Is it Will Greer? Is it Bill Belichick? You know what I mean? We don't know who's behind center. I don't know if you can comfortably back the Patriots betting or survivor wise when we still don't know. And I don't think we're going to find out until honestly Sunday.
Well, it's a fade of New York, basically.
Yeah.
I mean.
Let's say you picked New England in survivor. Here comes Will Greer starting at quarterback for the Patriots. Do you still feel comfortable?
I mean, from a defensive standpoint, against what DeVito's got tape on him now and all this stuff. And I mean, how much more will the Giants be able to do, right, than what they presented so far? I mean, DeVito's not elevating anything, right? No. So it's tough. It really is tough this week. If you have multiple entries, it good luck to you. Because I don't know what you would do.
I think if you have multiple, you just circle one game and pick both sides, I think. And just hope it doesn't end in a tie.
Sure.
Like that's kind of the move, it feels like,
sure,
to me.
Sure. Because you're trying to save, ultimately, Christmas Day, you're trying to save Philly.
Yeah.
Philly, because of that matchup.
And if you have Kansas City available, you could try to save. I mean, this would be the week to use Kansas City, but Kansas City also plays on Christmas, so that has that sort of, I guess, thought process behind that as well.
Right. Yeah, it gets tough, though. One entry is Minnesota all the way for me.
One entry Vikings?
Yeah.
What about one of your former teams, the Denver Broncos, as a short home favorite against the Cleveland Browns? However, this is Dorian Thompson-Robinson's first road start.
Road game, I know. Different.
It's a little bit tricky, and the Broncos have been, it hasn't looked pretty by any stretch of the imagination, but they've been surging as of late over this past month. I think they've won four straight games, and now they're back in the AFC wildcard race. Like, this is a big game here for Denver at home. You'd think that they could take care of business against Dorian Thompson-Robinson.
Yeah, you know, with the win streak too, I think crowd noise will be a factor out there. DTR going to
elevation.
Altitude, elevation, first road start like that. I mean, that does get different. But then, can Cleveland lean on their defense? We know Denver has dialed it down. They're more conservative offensively. Although Russell has been able to make some plays now. He's a playmaker again. It's a tough matchup. It really is. I think defensively, Denver can hold themselves or stay in this game and give themselves the opportunity to win in the fourth quarter. But can those plays show up in the fourth quarter against this defense with Cleveland, right? DTR making mistakes, I would rely on that, although that could happen.
Yep.
But I wouldn't rely from a betting standpoint on DTR making mistakes on the road, though.
What about, hear me out.
Okay.
What about the team that just fired their offensive coordinator, Matt Canada? What about the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Well, some of us would have used Pittsburgh already. would have.
Yeah.
And be still in it.
I know that's a sore subject for you. It's a sore subject for you. But Pittsburgh right now is a short road favorite against Jake Browning and the Cincinnati Bengals. This is the first Bengals game without Joe Burrow. So sometimes in those first games, you see like the, all right, like we got to like win one for the Gipper kind of thing. Like, you know, you get that like passionate kind of performance there. But I mean, if you can't beat Jay Browning, what the hell are you doing if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers? You
know? Sure. No, I mean, it's not a bad situation, really, against that quarterback, you know. And Cincinnati defensively, they have been leaking. And so that could help out a struggling offense like Pittsburgh, right? But I'm operating from the standpoint that I would already use Pittsburgh, so yeah. They're not available.
I know it's a sore subject for you. It's tough. The dream is over here on the Lombardi line for our buddy Pritch here, having been knocked
always
out.
Next year. It's always next year.
It's always next. Maybe it'll be $10 million dream instead of a $9 million dream.
Right.
Maybe.
Right.
We challenge the folks here at Circa. Derek Stevens, put up the money for Survivor. We'd love to go ahead and win it potentially next season. We'll talk some college football on the other side. This is the Lombardi line.
This is the Lombardi Line with Mike Palm and Mike Pritchard. Now here is your host, Timmy Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
There's so much to be thankful for: family, friends, food, and NFL football all week long. DraftKings Sportsbook is keeping your Thanksgiving week full of action. New customers can bet just $5 on the NFL to score 150 instantly in bonus bets. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VEGAS only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. The crown is yours. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line, hanging out with you guys on the DraftKings Network. Family Bebefe alongside Mike Pritchard here. Interesting enough, like obviously football all week long. Speaking of NFL football, coming up in about 30 minutes. We have the Black Friday game between the Dolphins and the Jets right now. It's still 9.5. Although our friends at the South Point, Pritch, they went to 10. So if you like the New York Jets, there are 10s out there for the New York Jets. Could you ever get there with Tim Boyle as starting quarterback?
Well, I took quarterbacks out the equation a long time ago, and it's been helping me lower left, upper right with the bankroll.
Hey, that's what we love to see.
That's right. And I think defensively, do they have the juice, though, to stay involved in this game? It's a tremendous matchup. Miami against elite defenses have kind of struggled. You know, not elite, but just decent defenses or defenses that are familiar with them and what they want to do, right? So, it gets interesting at 10, though. It really does.
10 is a key number. So, it definitely, I don't know if I could get there. I mean, I guess 10.5, you probably have to bet the Jets and just plug your nose. But, man, do you really want to spend Black Friday sweating out the Jets plus 10? Sometimes I ask myself this, like, I'm like, do I really want to do that? And I think in this instance, it's a no.
Yeah. I mean, like Black Friday, what? You're going to have something on sale. You know, you're getting a deal, right?
Discounts.
Are you getting a deal with the Jets at plus 10?
I mean, maybe, but it's Boyle. So maybe you're getting ripped off. Maybe it should be 14.
It's Boyle and Hackett.
It's Boyle.
Not just Boyle. It's Boyle and Hackett.
I'll find better things to do. I'll watch the game and I'll eat leftovers. Yeah.
Go buy a new computer or something. Exactly.
Spend the money on something that's going to bring you joy, right? Not something that's going to bring you pain, which I think Jets plus 10 might bring you pain. But hey, they could obviously cover the number. We're obviously talking a little bit tongue in cheek here, but it just, there's better ways to spend your Black Friday, in my opinion, at least. Speaking of which, though, let's talk some college football. Better ways to spend. How about rivalry weekend? That's a hell of a time to spend your time there, right, to go ahead and watch some of these rivalry games. The game, Ohio State and Michigan, is the biggest of them. Number 2 versus number 3, obviously big implications for the Big Ten title, big implications for the national title here. The Michigan Wolverines, 3.5-point favorites at home. Total is sitting at 47. I think the betting market likes Ohio State a lot here in this game. Do you like the Buckeyes to keep this close or maybe even win the football game?
Well, Big Bro's in town, and he influenced me and helped me get in football, right? He's seven years older than me, and he's a humongous Michigan fan.
Okay.
And he's nervous about this game. He's nervous about the game. Wow. At 3.5, it's tough to lay that. I think Ohio State, now Michigan's defense, they've taken some hits, firing coaches and stuff like that. And you wonder, okay, why do they have to steal signs? Why do they have to destroy evidence? Why do they have to do that when they're supposed to be really good there? So the path for Ohio State is to find out how to involve Marvin Harrison Jr. and get him highly effective and highly involved in this offense, get quarterback comfortable throwing the rock to Michigan. Obviously, they're going to run the football and play physical. That's who Michigan is. They're not going to change. I think the quarterback could find some throwing lanes for some receivers at times, but that's not going to be the essence of their game plan. It shouldn't be anyway, because then Ohio State's defense can just get after you. So can Michigan control the ball and run the football consistently in this game? to lay 3.5. I don't know if I can get there.
Yeah, I mean, especially the way Ohio State's defense has been playing, I don't know if you can go ahead and lay it. Do you think that the Wolverines have missed something on game day with the absence of Jim Harbaugh? Obviously, he's really adamant in like the preparation, like right. He's able to go ahead and like prepare the team. But on game day in particular, do you think that they're like missing something with the suspension that he's serving?
I think what you miss with a Harbaugh as a head coach now. He's still involved with practices, or did he just completely walk away?
He's completely involved. Okay. He just can't be at the venue on game day.
Even though they just say, hey, you know, like, we'll take that punishment.
Exactly.
Because of what's going on.
Who knows? Maybe he's piped into the headsets. Who knows?
Obviously, I think the fellas were distracted against Maryland. I mean, how are you not distracted? I mean, you're a young, impressionable kid, really, a young adult. Even though you had the t-shirts and all that, they were distracted, but they made plays and still got the job done. But this is a different animal, man. This is there's a lot more emotion in this game for Michigan and for Ohio State, for that matter. I think Ohio State can match the energy, which you have to do that on the road in the Big House that way. But you know, there's a number of players familiar with that, right?
Yeah.
I think the absence of Harbaugh on game day. See, I think a head coach makes a difference during a week of practice because they're going to dot the I's and cross the T's, especially a guy like Harbaugh.
Yep.
And they're not going to let anything slip. But if he's involved in practices, then, okay, anticipate Michigan having a great week of practice. I'm not one to think that on game day, the absence of Harbaugh is going to affect how they call the game, though. I don't think that's going to happen.
It's interesting because like Michigan – when you look at their schedule, obviously, like they didn't play like the toughest of schedules.
And
even Penn State, like the one that they had a couple weeks ago, I have a lot of questions about Penn State, especially offensively.
Right.
I mean, they haven't like, yes, Michigan's defense has been good. Penn State they've struggled against a lot of people offensively. I mean, we've seen them have games where it's like, I don't know about this. So I don't know if Michigan's really been tested. Off like in terms of like a legitimate passing attack.
Right.
Now, I don't know if Ohio State's going to be the team to do that either, just because Kyle McCord is not a good quarterback, in my opinion, just from watching. I'm like, Kyle McCord, it's like, dude, like you have the best player in college football. Just throw him the football.
Right.
And they can't do that. And like they have a bunch of good receivers and they can't do it. So maybe they're never going to be tested until the playoff. Maybe the playoff in Georgia will come and run over them or something like that. And that'll be the case. But I haven't seen enough to lay this number from Michigan. So to me, it'd be Ohio State or pass. And right now, I think it's kind of a pass because I still don't trust Ryan Day either in these big games.
Yeah. You know, from a schedule standpoint, I think Ohio State's in the same boat. Like, yeah. Who have they played? They beat Notre Dame. Notre Dame had, 10 players on the field, right?
That's true.
Mike's multiple plays. Yeah, Mike's not here.
Happy Thanksgiving, Mike Ball.
Yeah. And then Penn State, I think Penn State, the hype was in front of everything else for Penn State. I mean, look at Ohio State's schedule. Like, that's not that impressive either, though, right? This game, I think you throw all that out the window because it has so much other implications to it, other factors to it. And then you're going to have your best performances from your best players, you know? And you're right. I mean, it's tough to lay 3.5. And can you get there? But Ohio State is a possession game, I think. If you have if you're looking for a teaser leg or something like that, I mean, there you go. I think it's a possession game, to be honest with you.
Yeah, no, I think it's definitely a possession game as well. Hopefully it's a good game. The market says it's going to be a good game. Total's been getting bet to the over, and the points spread keeps compressing. So it looks like we're going to have a fun game with the game in Ann Arbor tomorrow afternoon between Ohio State and Michigan. Also a big weekend for the Heisman Trophy race here, Pritch. Jaden Daniels, the LSU quarterback, has emerged as the betting favorite right now, -110 around that range. Bo Nix has the game tonight against Oregon State. Michael Penix has the Apple Cup tomorrow afternoon. We're Washington right now is a 15.5 point favorite. It's down to those three guys. I think from a prop betting standpoint, it could make for an interesting, especially with LSU playing Texas A&M right now, LSU a 10.5, 11 point favorite. I mean, they're going to leave Daniels in there to try to rack up as many numbers as possible. LSU has made it their life mission to get him the Heisman Trophy this week. So I think this is like his last chance to impress the voters. Could be a big number from Jaden Daniels from a prop standpoint.
I think he's already impressed the voters, to be honest with you. You know, like you got that committal, non-committal thing from guys that are voting on the Heisman. Like, how do you pass up what the season that he's put together? I love your ticket and situation with Bo Nix, but one of the things I think can hurt him would be that those two receivers that he has then run after the catch. And, you know, is like any quarterback in Oregon could be putting up numbers, right? I mean,
it sounds like Bo Nix disrespect.
I'm just saying.
Bo Nix will not stand for this disrespect.
I mean, my goodness, those guys can fly.
A lot of yak.
Yeah.
A lot of yak.
Michael Penix, you know, if he has an incredible performance in Apple Cup, who knows, right? And that kind of thing. But Daniels, it just feels like it's shifted towards him big time.
The conversation, with the numbers he's put up, it's been spectacular and all that. The reason why I don't think Daniels is going to get there is just because Nix has obviously the spotlight game tonight. Mm-hmm. Daniels, we spent a lot of the conversation talking about Ohio State, Michigan. Daniels plays at that exact same time. How many people are watching LSU A&M when Ohio State, Michigan's going on?
Good point.
And then next week, where's Jaden Daniels? He's on a milk carton because LSU's not playing conference championship weekend. It's going to be tough for him to win the Heisman. We'll wrap up the show on the other side.